Jay caught it, got his feet down. Spectacular touchdown for the Bengals.
Spectacular, to say the least. One-on-one isolation, our best against your best on Monday Night Football. Let's go at it. Just a high point fade at the back pylon, and A.J. Green gets them both in for the opening score.
Sonsenbacher, the former Ohio State Buckeye, throws out as the third receiver. They run with the rookie Hill to the right. Goes into the secondary, and there goes Jeremy Hill midfield. Using Sanu, accelerating. Hill is gone. Touchdown.
Third and 11 from around 43.
Gabbert from the gun. Here come the Bengals. Gabbert able to just get it off. It's picked off. Off the deflection, Adam Jones. Crosses the 40, 13 yards on the return. Big play for the Cincinnati defense.
Adam Jones, he's been jumping as to get back on the field, and he makes play again.
Now I'm back in Cincinnati, so I'm the pulse, the heartbeat for Bengals fans.
With an Ohio Bias presents the I-71 South podcast, and we talk Bengals-Browns, recap the two teams maybe going in the wrong directions. We welcome in Garrett Staples, who was live in Cleveland for the Battle of Ohio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, with an Ohio Bias. Glad to get you know, just touch things and get back together and talk Bengals and talk the I-71 South podcast. And we have a lot to cover, so let's just dig into it.
Yeah, a lot to cover. We're going to cover the Bengals' first win, of course, look back at a couple of the games and maybe some of the things that led up to that, and are they trending in the right direction as they go into the game with the Buffalo Bills? The 4-0 Buffalo Bills, I might add, Garrett. But let's talk about the Bengals. They get the first win, man. A woeful performance by the Browns, but the Bengals looked good, especially in that second quarter. The offense got rolling, and Andy Dalton was able to score some touchdowns, and, it had to be good to take it all in. How was that experience, and how was the atmosphere?
Pretty good atmosphere. I got heckled by some Browns fans a little bit, but it wasn't nothing major. Had a good time, and, observations, from just looking at both teams and looking from a Bengals perspective, the offensive line, it still needs work. Still need guys to be benched as far as Russell Bodine at center. Pro Football Focus still has him rated as one of the lowest performing centers within the National Football League. And, I was pretty impressed with Cleveland defensively. Offensively, I don't know, you guys definitely got to get some wide receivers, but all in all, it was a it wasn't a clean game, I can say that. Both teams look very, rusty. I guess that's trying to be nice to be the fourth game of the season.
It was an ugly game. Let's just be honest. From the get-go, I will say this. One of the things that I thought set the tone, though, especially for the Bengals, was the big return, the big punt return by Adam Jones. That special teams, I think that kind of got the Bengals a little bit of momentum going. And as you said, the Browns offense struggled. The Bengals defense was able to hold them to 215 yards of total offense.
Yeah, Adam Jones, he's always been our spark plug, with his punt returns. When we need a big special teams play, he normally comes through with it. And he was able to do that this past Sunday. And that kind of jumpstart the offense. That's the offense's best friend is either special teams or a defensive turnover, where you basically change the field position and you create a short field where you're already on the opposition's on their side of the field. So, that made for a short field, and that kind of got the ball rolling for the offense. And then, sometimes it just happens that way where it becomes a snowball effect.
Absolutely. And we talk about a snowball effect. The first two games for the Bengals, they scored 10 points total. The last two games, and this might coincide with the firing of one Ken Zambezi, the Bengals enter in Bill Lazor, and he works with Andy Dalton and the offense. Even in Green Bay, the score wasn't what the Bengals wanted, or the result wasn't what the Bengals wanted. They lose 27-24, but they get the touchdowns going. And then, of course, four touchdowns against the Cleveland Browns, and Andy Dalton had a passer rating of 145.3. So that, was pretty good.
Correct. You can see the difference in the offense from the first 2 weeks, like you mentioned, under Ken Zampezi, and then after him being fired and Bill Lazor, you could see that the offense was trending in the right direction during the Green Bay game. Like you said, we didn't get the results that we wanted, which is always the win. But you could see that it was finally some signs of life offensively. Because, I mean, if you look at the Bengals defensively, they're in the top 10 defensively rated, you know. But, you know, any defense, if you put them out there for 60 minutes, they're going to get tired, you know, no matter how deep the team is, because you're just playing so many plays. And these last two games, I'm hoping that the trajectory of the offense keeps on trending the way it is, because they're really starting to put some points on the board.
Well, I think the other takeaway that I had from this game, at least for the Bengals, was they got a pretty good problem in their backfield. With the NFL around the league, players going down left and right, these running backs, you know, this game to me spelled the return of one Gio Bernard, Garrett, and Joe Mixon, and even Jeremy Hill, who has a lukewarm trade request out there, looked good as they were running.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon kind of was the guy, you know, third best out there, and I think that bids well for the Bengals moving forward.
Definitely. We have a loaded backfield, and, yeah, with the lukewarm trade request that you mentioned for Jeremy Hill. And his rookie deal will be up after the season. You can just kind of see Joe Mixon being grandfathered in as the guy. But Hill had a pretty good game, even though he did fumble. But Gio, he really had a couple explosions. And just you can see the offensive play calling where guys are being utilized in the roles that they kind of need to be in. Jeremy Hill shouldn't be running sweeps. That should be more of Mixon. And, you know, when you're talking about the screen game and throwing the little halfback passes, the flares and those kinds of things, that's Gio's mantra. That's his strong suit. And they took one to the house with Gio for a touchdown. So you can see Bill Lazor really utilizing guys and putting them in position and taking advantage of their abilities on the field.
And then defense definitely stepped up, keeping the Browns to only 7 points. Garrett, what are you seeing on that side of the ball, and how good is it to see Vontaze Burfict making plays for the Bengals?
It's always good to see the captain of your defense back, and it was much needed. And, you know, who's to say that week before in Green Bay, if Burfict's there, they're able to stop Aaron Rodgers on that last drive. But that's neither here nor there. But it was good to see Burfict inserted into a defense that was really playing at a, you know, and they're playing already at the top 10 level, but you could see in some of the run fits where linebackers were missing, where Vontaze Burfict is not going to miss a running back coming through the hole. So it was a welcome and a sight for sore eyes. I had my Burfict jersey on at the stadium.
All right, well, we turn the page going into next week. It doesn't get any easier, Garrett. This would have won with the Browns still winless, the Bengals getting their first win, but now you got to match up with the Buffalo Bills, who are 4-0, leading their division, the division that contains the New England Patriots. They have beat some of the who's who or the best teams in the league, with the Broncos and Falcons on that list. What do you think about this matchup with Sean McDermott coming over from the Carolina Panthers, now leading this Buffalo Bills team, who was supposed to be in tank mode? They got Shady McCoy, Jordan Matthews, and Tyrod Taylor putting up the points, but the defense has been doing the job as well.
Really concerns me because, you know, even though, you know, most folks will say, well, Mohamed Sanu and Julio Jones, they got injured, and, you know, that's why Buffalo was able to beat Atlanta, you know, who was favored to win that game in the Mercedes-Benz Dome down there in Atlanta. You still got to give Buffalo their props, and you can really – I don't know what it is under Rex Ryan, but under Sean McDermott, you know, the offense, it's at least respectable now. You know, teams have to respect their offense. Tyrod Taylor is playing solid ball. He's managing the game. He's not turning the ball over. And, you know, they're playing tough defense, and that makes for a formidable game plan. And it's impressive. It was an impressive win to beat Denver and the way they did up in Buffalo, and then to turn right back around and go down to Atlanta. in their house, a hostile environment, and beat them there is very impressive, and it definitely concerns me, even though that this game is in the jungle back in Cincinnati. It still concerns me with the way that Sean McDermott-led defense is playing and with the inconsistencies of our offensive line, because I'll say this, the Houston Texans game, I watched that. You're talking about Joe Mixon, who was a hell of a back. I mean, he made, and I'll say J.J. Watt was in the backfield, and he actually made J.J. Watt reach for air. And I saw the same thing against the Browns, where Joe Mixon made a defensive end reach for air. But against these upper echelon teams, it's just not going to work. And that's what really concerns me with a good defense is the running game. You have to establish a running game, you know, to keep the defense defense honest. And, you know, with this passing game, it can become one-dimensional if Buffalo is able to take away that running game, you know, which I'm very concerned with this offensive line, which they've been shuffling players out in and out of, where you have Andre Smith, who's been inserted, and Cedric Ablaze's been benched at left tackle in favor of Andre Smith, T.J. Johnson at right guard because of Hopkins being hurt because of injuries, and then you also had Jake Fisher, who's been benched at right tackle from time to time, you know, just because of inconsistent plays. So this offensive line definitely concerns me. And then also with Russell Bodine, who I said had one of the lowest pro football focus ratings per center in the league, that spells for a major concern.
Yeah, I think this game is going to be a battle of tight ends. And sadly, the Bengals, you know, star tight end is still on the shelf with that back injury in Tyler Eifert. But the other Tyler,
uh-huh,
who had a career day against the Browns, Tyler Croft, will be matched up against Charles Clay on the other side for the Buffalo Bills. And I think whichever one of those guys has a bigger day might be the bigger result.
That's true. Tyler Croft is really coming on. I'm hoping that that's a coming out party for him against the Browns, and I hope it continues and it really trends for Buffalo this week coming up. You know, I'm wishing upon a star. I'm hoping, you know, it would surely be nice to have our Pro Bowl tight end Tyler Eifert ready for this game against Buffalo, but I don't see that. So, you know, between Tyler Croft and CJ Usama, you know, we just got to go with what we have, and hopefully they can definitely win that matchup, our tight ends, against Buffalo's fierce front seven.
All right, Garrett, anything else you think that you've seen the last couple weeks that the Bengals have been building on, maybe some insights that you think that can carry over? Because this is this is going to be the toughest game I think the Bengals have had just yet.
Yes, you know, I'm starting to see the improvement in the passing game, and that's very important. First 2 weeks, it was either the receiver couldn't get enough separation, or Dalton was feeling rushed into the pocket to the point where when he did have time, he's overthrowing receiver, or it was a combination of both. So the passing game is really starting to come along. But for the Bengals to get to where they really need to be and to effectively be able to win against Buffalo, they're going to have to be able to establish the running game. And that means winning at the line of scrimmage, because right now they're still not winning at the line of scrimmage on a consistent basis, where the running back has to juke a defender in the backfield. That shouldn't happen at the pro level. The running back shouldn't have to really, I think, you know, with a decent offensive line, you shouldn't be getting touched until the second level, where you have to worry about a linebacker. You shouldn't have to worry about a linebacker or D tackle behind the line of scrimmage. So the running game is the key to me.
All right, let's get the prediction, man. What do you think? How this one going to play out, and give us a score for it?
One thing I feel is a big advantage is us playing at home, even though we haven't played the greatest recently this year. But I think it's still better to be playing a hot team like Buffalo at home than up there in Ralph Wilson Stadium. And I just think, you know, Buffalo really doesn't blow anybody out. You know, they have a play of slow, methodical, ground and pound type game and play action pass. So that bodes well for a great defense like Cincinnati. So, you know, it should be a tight game, and I look for us to be able to put up enough points, a 21-17 type of game, something like that, or even a 17-10 Bengals win. But it's definitely – this is going to be with two great defenses that can bring – you know, that can travel. Buffalo has a lunch pail defense, and so does the Bengals. I look for a low-scoring defensive affair, slug it out, and whoever can generate enough protection, you know, offensive line wise, and can win the time of possession will probably win this game. So I look for a close one.
Go ahead and make sure you're following us. We will be back more regularly. Had to take a couple weeks off there, but you know we'll always be here for you at the I-71 South podcast. Make sure you're following at With an Ohio Bias on Twitter for all the hot takes and keeping up what's going on the Facebook page. You can give us a like there and get all the latest breaking news when things happen about all sports. And, of course, you can always find this podcast on iTunes, in the Google Play Music Store where podcasts are found, and, of course, on the Stitcher app. Garrett, go ahead and take us out.
You know, we always talk about someone who is trending upwards, and we have one star that's being born, and that's the kid that was drafted out of Auburn, had some injuries, but he's really trending upward, and he's really becoming our guy to bring pressure at the right defensive end, and that is Carl Lawson. I mean, 2 and 3 sacks per game. I mean, he's really bringing the heat, really bringing the pressure. And it's really freeing up guys like Geno Atkins to do his business on the inside. And for Carlos Dunlap and for Carl Lawson to have meetings in the backfield at the quarterback. So it's a really welcome sight to see that right end position get pressure with Carl Lawson and the other young kid out of Kansas State, Jordan Willis. So that's definitely a great thing. So, like I said, man, it's great to talk Bengals football, I-71 South podcast. Sorry we missed you guys a couple weeks, but I'm glad we can recap, bring you back up to speed, and I'll definitely be talking with the rest of Bengals. And as always, hoo-day!